This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 64.
Hey, this is GunSully from Washington, D.C.
And this is TechSully calling in from the road, of course, in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Not even get some poutine while you're up there.
Pot's almost entirely legal. Can't do cocaine yet.
I said that's poutine.
Just, oh, poutine. Okay. No, I thought you said cocaine. That's just snow on the ground.
It reminds me of Better Off Dead when Booger from the guy who played Booger from he's grabbing snow going, could you imagine the street value of this? Alright, okay. Instantaneously sidetracked. Scott Weiland died last night. Yeah, Scott Weiland died last night.
That I have an ironclad alibi.
Yes. Tech has been pretty wrapped up in the music industry over the years, since seeing that as a tech guy, he lived very near where was it Lane Staley who they found the body?
That was kind of a sad story. So one of my favorite authors of all times, and actually I think he died when we were doing the podcast, Terry Pratchett was in town in Seattle, and I went out to hear him with a friend of mine, and there's, you know, Twin Towers there in Seattle, the other tower across the way from where my friend lives. So my, you know, I go visit my friend, pick him up, and we drive over to where Terry Pratchett's speaking, and then, you know, I drop my friend back off, we stand around in his apartment talking about, boy, it was really neat seeing Terry Pratchett, talk. While we're talking, Lane Staley is laying dead in his apartment catty corner to us.
Right. Nobody knew until, a week and a half later or something?
Yeah. Literally, he was probably, 3 days dead as we were standing there talking, you know. I was a good day and a half too late to have done anything to help, bare minimum. There's a creepy claim to fame.
One of the unsuspecting neighbors to Lance Staley's overdose. I hope I'm saying the right name there. I'll say the name of the guy who's still alive. And that would just be embarrassing to talk about the one Alice in Chains member who's still singing, because that was a band that had two lead singers, and they still have two lead singers, just one of them's not the original. And I've always loved Alice in Chains. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember Alice in Chains ever, you know, dangling babies off of balconies or publicly beating their wife or anything like that, which other rock stars
they tended to turn all the abuse inward.
That's sad. Kind of the Kurt Cobain situation there.
Seattle would do that to you. I mean, I told the story on the podcast before, and you know, this is part of the reason why, you know, I get so passionate about, you know, if you're depressed, get help, because, you know, I got laid off, after the 9/11 attacks, and, you know, I was applying to jobs and all that, but I was basically nocturnal, during those months after 9/11, which, you know, rolls into the winter. There, if you're far enough north in Seattle, the sun comes up at about 10 a.m. and goes down at about 3 p.m. And so it wasn't until about, I want to say, February before I saw the sun. And, you know, I had this, epiphany. It's like I've lived in darkness for almost 6 months. This was not healthy. I think it was Lewis Black had the joke that he wanted to slit his wrist just to see color.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of those things. If you're not from Seattle, if you've never visited Seattle, you go and visit someone, you might be shocked when you turn on the bathroom light and 250 watt bulbs pop on, and Tech had to explain to me that that's where a lot of people get their vitamin D. And is it vitamin D or C that you get from the sun?
It's vitamin D,
vitamin D. You might not see
that. Yeah, it was at that moment I started using the happy light thing, because it's like, that was literally a dark time in my life, I gotta tell you.
And the TV wasn't helping out at all. Now back to the falling down marathon.
The television was like, here's falling down, followed by pitch black.
Scott Weiland, the DJ here at DC 101, put it perfectly. It said Scott Weiland died at age, 48, something like that. And it's not a surprise. It's sad to say this, but it's not a surprise, because that's how the guy lived. He was, I gotta stop saying, every time I say, blurb, I have to stop and go, So after I annoy everyone so much, I will annoy myself, and then I'll stop doing it. So I apologize.
It needs to be a swear jar every time you do it, where you have to donate to charity or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, there's a lot of things on my swear jar. We've got all the good old classic four letters. And then, of course, we have Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, what else? Eric Holder. Eric Holder's definitely on there. Yeah, what a terrible person he was. I don't know why I'm talking about him. He's still out there being terrible. So what were you talking about? We're on Scott Weiland. We're talking about how he passed away. Also, I wanted to jump in here. I wanted to do our weekend quickie and bring up some of the stuff that I've been posting online, that other people have been posting online, that we've yet to talk about on the podcast. And I'm talking about we have a Facebook forum. It's an open forum. You can jump in. You can chime in. You can post stuff on there. It's a Facebook forum. Just look up groups, the podcast. So we're a group. And of course you'll see our shiny circular logo. So, jump on there and chime in when we talk about stuff. One of the things, we did a while back was we posted a fantasy draft pick poll. So it's not a straw poll, because we're not putting all the candidates. Instead, we did fantasy draft pick. So we picked, who we could most tolerate as a Republican candidate, who we could most tolerate as a Democratic candidate, Jim Webb as an independent, and the Libertarian Party candidate. So of course we have Dr. Ben Carson for the Republicans, because I think he's the only Republican who it's hard to hate somebody who just talks like this all the time. That being the case, Ben Carson for the Republicans and Bernie Sanders for the Democrats, because he actually believes in what he talks about. He doesn't just focus group test everything that he has to say like Hillary Clinton does. Before she goes out, she will have a focus group to tell her whether or not she thinks the day is going to be a good day. And she talks like this. She's, I can't tell if she's a psychopath or a robot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, fiscally speaking, I disagree with Bernie on almost every point, except for, you know, but I know for a fact that if you hook the electrodes up to him, he wouldn't back down from any point, you know? He's coming from the heart on each one of those. And it's like, and here's the way our system works. You know, if we elect, you know, Hitler J. Stalin tomorrow, you know, our system of checks and balances keeps Hitler J. Stalin from doing too much damage, you know?
Right.
You don't want a president that has too much power. So, you know, that's the goofiness where so many people are like, oh, Obama's ruining this country, he's doing this, you know. It's like, oh, hey, well, right now you have a Republican-controlled, you know, House and Senate. So as much as you've got, you know, Obama ruining the country, the other side's going, look, the Republicans are ruining the country. So it's like, you know, you got loggerheads happening all over the place, which is actually good, you know.
Yeah.
When nothing's happening, everybody's safer.
Exactly. And that's a huge thing. One of the things that actually turns me on about Bernie, one of the reasons why I kind of feel Brian, and I haven't really got confirmation on this, so it's one of those things I'm floating out there to my Bernie Sanders friends. Brian Carlos Sanchez, you're my ambassador to the Feel the Burn world. If you can confirm or not if he is a real socialist, because everyone has stuff they like about the government, our big government. And I know everyone is scared of the term big government, but every flag-flying American loves one part of the government, whether it's the roads or the social programs or the military. And big government socialists all around the world will support those three things: infrastructure, social service, and the military. Now, I know a lot of people go, hey, we don't need the social services expanded. We don't want a bunch of roads to nowhere built, and they'll say all this stuff on infrastructure. And I got to say, if he says that he is going to rehabilitate the United States military, which is a big government program that I love, because when we have a strong military with strong volunteers and a strong support group, and a strong defense for our government and our country and our families, we are safe at home. And we don't need to be as reactive, and we don't need to be as militant across the world if we have a strong military at home. Obama's crippled our military and has us doing little drone strikes and putting 50 guys here and 50 guys there, and we're not seeing results. We don't need to be interventionist in every single situation. We can be preventive of our own troubles. Socialist governments all around the world have all acted this way. They've all had giant militaries. And if he is truly a socialist, and he is for rehabilitating the United States military, so we have a proud federal military force that is proudly serving their country in camo under the red, white, and blue, I would love to feel the burn. One of the issues is we have a lot of people who call themselves socialists, and then they say, yeah, I'm a socialist. I'm just for social programs. Well, you don't have anything there. You don't have a complete picture there if you're just for one of the three things. You have to be for social programs, infrastructure, and the military. Because otherwise, you're just a lopsided government, and you're going, hey, Republicans, I hate you, but you have to protect us. Hey, Republicans, you're the devil, but you are the ones who have to protect us, because we have no urge or gumption to protect ourselves, because, you know, no one should ever have to hurt us. You know, I almost missed it. I threw it in there right at the end. So that's that. If Bernie Sanders likes the military, I like it at Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I've ranted all along, you know, we waste so much money on the military. We spend it weird ways. And we spend so much downtime, you know, we've got falling apart infrastructure, you know. We've got bridges that are falling down, and you know, as a libertarian, I wouldn't mind driving across the Pepsi-Cola Bridge, you know, right across the Spalding tennis ball bridge, across the,
yes.
you know. And I'm a space nut. I wouldn't mind, you know, our astronauts flying to the moon and, you know, flipping into the Coca-Cola orbital lander, you know.
Yeah, no, it is one of those things where it's like, if our government could utilize some of the money that comes in to it from taxes in more efficient ways and in more overt ways, because, yeah, taxes from giant corporations, donations from giant corporations, just sort of, they go where? They go into the ether, you know?
There's precedent for it, okay? Stadiums are paid for by taxes. You know, the Dodger
right.
Stadium paid for by taxes. You know,
those are civic centers, too. Those are municipal centers.
What's that?
You're right. Those are civic centers. They're municipal centers.
Yeah, and they're only used by, you know, a billionaire who owns a team. A very small number of people benefit from those, but taxpayers pay for them. And then the naming rights are handed out to, different companies. And there's, you know, that hilariously lampooned in basketball. you know.
Well, it is one of those things, though. If it gets the thing built, you know what? You know, let Pfizer put their name on it. The Pfizer Bridge. I would hate Pfizer to be out there. Pfizer's ugly. How about the Wonder Bros Ascension Bridge?
Yeah, there you go. The Viagra sponsors the next time they have to repair the Washington Monument.
Yes. Oh man, we went right
Poor
from
Trojan.
That to that. Okay. Yeah. Turned well. Oh, they did wrap it all up.
Yeah.
They wrapped up go ahead.
We're taking a highbrow on Friday.
Oh yes, nothing but the yes. Only light blue for you on Friday. Okay, so where were we? We were talking about the straw poll. So yeah, it was Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders won the straw poll. He won our fantasy draft pick straw poll. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Because we didn't put Hilbo on there, and we didn't put Trumpers or any of the other Republican candidates. Just who we want, who we would enjoy seeing go up there.
Yeah, not Hitler J. Stalin.
You know, Hitler J. Stalin had some good ideas, you know.
It's funny. Trump's rabid fan base are also the same kind of people who can't stand people that take advantage of eminent domain. And
yeah.
I wonder how long the cognitive dissonance can hold that egg afloat, you know?
Yeah. So you're saying he's used eminent domain in a lot of cases?
Holy crap, has he ever, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, try to compile.
Oh, I don't need to. There's a whole like 18 page Wikipedia page of every time he's done it.
Okay, well what I'm telling you is please put it on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yes, I definitely will. Yeah. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's been mentioned that he's probably afraid to travel to Scotland because he'll probably be killed by a man in a dress or killed.
How did he do eminent domains in Scotland? How did he do that?
Apparently, holding company has there did something downright dirty in Scotland, and the Scottish people are known for being able to hold a grudge.
Yeah, that's that goes back to the Picts. Yeah. You don't have to build a wall to keep them out, right?
Don't mess with a man that can run around in a dress in the snow.
Man, I was so frustrated by
we can wait for the Scots for a bit more because we don't have any listeners from Scotland yet.
No, I definitely haven't seen any listeners from Scotland pop up there. So we keep talking like this, right?
Oh yeah, you think we sound funny, do you?
I keep quoting
Phil.
Oh, Blinton. Tell your buddy Blinton. That wouldn't be a threat in the club. All right. Same rules apply.
Scotland. You don't have said ew. You said ew. You said Scotland. It's Scotland.
My favorite line from Phil. This isn't some parts of the country! This is Scotland! By Christ! You cannot say that line without doing an accent and just... There's a powerful trill on the R of Christ! Alright, yes, for anyone squeamish, do not watch the movie that we just referenced. Alright,
yeah.
One of the other things I wanted to bring up...
Dennis was throwing, some things that, I want to be clear, we can people, what's that?
Every time I say, as a stopper, I yell, so I'm starting to do it for you.
I want to be clear, we are, we can ridicule ISIS, we can hold up their ideas to ridicule. But I want to make sure that people aren't attacking, attack ideas, don't attack people, attack concepts, not the people, you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I definitely do. We have a lot of
people.
Let's not say Islam, when we're talking, let's not say Islam when we're talking about terrorists, Islamic terrorists. If you want to say Islamic terrorists, I am totally fine with that. You want to say radical Islamic terrorist? That's fine by me. That's accurate. But
brilliantly, after we talked the last time, and I saved the link. What I was saying about how they got to fix it from internally. Indonesia has launched a massive campaign to try to combat radicalization.
That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. Something that needs to be done on every front from the Muslim community. And, my Muslim friends, which I do have a few, they don't care for radical Islam, which is why they're my friends, why they're here. They don't care for people doing dumb stuff. And it doesn't mean that they're going to spit on the Quran. They're not, what's the term? Apostates. They're not, But according to Islamic State, they are apostate, and they should die.
Yeah.
Because they're not crazy and wanting to take up arms against against me, an evil yarmulke-wearing, Hanukkah-celebrating infidel. Happy Hanukkah, everyone, by the way. I forgot to mention that. They are, they're more like, hey, you know, it's a religion. It's a religion. It's one of those things that you do when you're not at work and you're not out in the public and you're not with your wife or with your girlfriend. It's a religion. It's not something that's really anybody's business, which is, you might hear that statement that I just said and go, wow, you have really crummy friends. And that's true. I do. But they also have a great separation of things. They have compartmentalized stuff in their mind. And religion is one of those things. It's, religion is religion. It's between you and God. It's what you choose to do. And if your religion is spilling out into the rest of the world and you're trying to force everyone else in the world to be your religion, you're missing the point of religion. If you want to talk to somebody about your religion and tell them how awesome it is and how it's changed your life, and that, okay, that's proselytization, and a lot of people go, oh, I hate Christians, always proselytizing. Well, guess what? That's the nice way of doing things. So,
yeah,
hating Mormons and hating Jehovah's Witnesses and hating that evangelistic guy at work is not really helpful, because guess what? That's his freedom of speech. And
yeah, that's the thing. Interestingly, you know, the Mormons were bloodthirsty, murderous people back in the day. There's a podcast called Naked Mormonism, and he has a brilliant thing where he talks about back on September 11th, and I'm going to get the year wrong, but it's like 1875. They slaughtered a bunch of settlers. Brigham Young killed, you know, a couple of hundred settlers, first killing the children and unarmed children first. They sent out, you know, two girls dressed all in white to be, you know, because they didn't have any flags to wave. They sent out two little girls dressed in white as like a we surrender thing, and of course they shot them. You know, you're like, you know, this is straight up, if you said tomorrow, hey, you know, the people in Syria sent out two little girls dressed in white as a surrender thing, and ISIS guys slaughtered them, you'd be like, oh, those horrible ISIS people, they're terrible. Or you're like, no, wait, sorry, I got that wrong. That was the Mormons that did that. You'd be like, holy crap, Mormons? You know, the people we make fun of for driving minivans? You know, and then later on, they name a college after this guy.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
you're right,
time whitewashes all things. You know, who knows, in 150 years, there might be, there might be ISIS, you know, might be the stereotype that they all drive minivans and they knock on your door two by two riding bicycles. You're like,
here's one of the things, though. The reason why there was a drastic change. Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to turn the radio down while you call on the show. I'm getting an echo. The reason why there was a drastic change and they were no longer just slaughtering at random is because the U.S. government made life really hard for them, cracked down on them, because they were radicals in a lot of ways, and it forced them to be moderate. It took force to get them to be moderate. It wasn't something that just kind of happened. It was something that was forced, and they look at it as, hey, that was a horrible time. We got stuff forced on us by the U.S. government. And as you, any non-Mormon, look at it as, hey, remember that time the Mormons acted crazy? So it's one of those drastic drastic differences from how one person looked at a situation and another. But when you look at it that way, it's like, okay, we need to be strong because this situation isn't going to solve itself if we do not fight it. And we do not stand up and say, hey, I am a Christian, I am a Jew, I am an atheist, and, you know, we are these things, and we will stand with any Muslim who says that he's against terrorism. The way people like the King of Jordan, King Abdullah in Jordan, has stood up against terrorism, which is awesome. He's been belligerent in all the right ways against terrorism. And
he was also pretty outspoken during the whole FIFA thing too. I'm starting to really like the Jordanians.
Yeah. So, and we should say that, hey, we're moderate Muslims, Christians, Jews, and atheists, and we are going to support and stand with anyone who says that radical terrorism, radicalized religious terrorism, specifically Islamic, but including Christian radicals, because that happens too. It's not as common.
And Hindu. This past year, a Muslim family was beat to death because it was reported that they had cow in the refrigerator, and it turned out to be goat.
It was.
And they're like, well, it could have been cow. You know, that was their defense. It could have been cow.
Do you see what the problem is there? That is when a community, and this is, one of these jerks online pointed this out, which he was going through a lot of backflips to try to say that Israel isn't wrong in any and every conflict that Israel has, Israel is wrong. That was this guy's point. I don't remember the guy's name. I don't care to. He was just an absolute jerk. He completely ignored the fact that Israel is on the defense and all the left intifadas, and it was the Muslim terrorists who broke every single ceasefire. Every single ceasefire was broke by the other guys, not by Israel. And yet this guy did not report that in his fair and unbiased view of the Israel situation. And in order to make the Israelites look like crazy Zionist Jews, he went back to Russia in the 500s to find a Jewish community where a crazy theocratic right-wing leader was killing people for not following the rules. And I thought, you have to go back 1,500 years, and that is an indictment of all Jews? Are you kidding me? Like, are you serious? Can you steer it? And he was serious, straight face as he told this story about this. Yeah, this is a thing. These guys are really no good. Are you freaking serious? Like, I can't even say how I feel. It was so stupid. And the fact that the guy has this straight face, like, yep, these are the people that took over that area, and they're all meanies. And, you know, ignore the fact that there are people with Sharia law in countries that we support, like Saudi Arabia, that are decapitating people or stoning women to death for doing moral issues, which I the biggest issue is, I'm not saying that Jew who was mean back in the 500s and was killing people, I'm not saying he's in the right. I'm saying he's in the wrong. But Jews figure that out, you know? And it's kind of, he found some really out there example that didn't really exemplify Judaism. And that's a huge thing. When you realize, hey, we need to have secular governments because not all religions are the same. Just a second. Not all religions are the same. Not all people are in the same religion. So you have to have a secular government, not to mediate religion, but to mediate people so that they can follow their own religion. That's the whole concept of our government. The United States of America was a place where Catholics and Protestants and Jews could live together, and they didn't have to worry about, oh gosh, is that guy over there, is he worshiping an idol? Because that's what the Protestants accuse the Catholics of, or the Catholics going, hey, is that guy over there eating meat on a Friday? Because that's, for some reason, a thing they think is in the Bible somewhere, I don't know.
There was no Jews
running around going, is everyone here circumcised? It's not a thing. So, back in the day when they started the country, it was so that stuff could be separated so that people could govern themselves, not so that a government could legislate their religion over us. And one of the huge issues is whenever there's a religious community with strict rules, like don't eat cow, most prevalent meat source, don't eat cow. Well, I guess most prevalent red meat source, I should say. Don't eat cow, and that being the case, if you eat it, we'll kill you. Well, that's kind of out there. It's kind of an out there thing. So you should know that that's your choice. And I know that would be light years of change for a lot of communities to be able to understand that concept of you have to choose to be in a religion. If you do not choose, it's not your spiritual belief. It's something you're forced to do. It's just you following laws. If I'm driving 55, it's not because I love holy government and holy government loves me and I feel the power of the holy government throughout my life. No, it's a friggin' law. Drive 55, where you get a ticket. You know, it's like, oh gosh, okay. All right, I guess I won't eat ham here, and because it's in Abu Dhabi, and I don't want to get in trouble. Okay, all right, I guess I won't eat ham. It's not because I made a sacrifice to God, and I chose to eat kosher. I chose to eat halal. I made a sacrifice of my will. And it's a deep spiritual significance to myself. And to me, between me and God, this is a thing. This is a thing that we share, that I sacrifice something of my life to Him out of respect and admiration for this universe that He created for us. That's religion. Saying,
yeah,
this needs to be a law. This needs to be a law. We need to put a law about this. That's not religion. That's bureaucracy. And
right,
people well, should understand.
And what you find is people start doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
No. You know,
yeah.
To follow your religion, people are going to do the bare minimum. You know, it's like I don't drink personally, but yeah, there in the area I live, I can't buy certain types of liquor on Sundays. Apparently, bad things will happen to you if you buy liquor on Sundays. So,
yes, apparently, which is why any good Christian knows to stock up on Saturday.
Apparently.
I mean, it's the best way to do it because, you know, the Jews aren't getting out fast enough on Saturday, so you can beat them to the aisles.
Yeah.
And the Seventh-day Adventists, you can beat them. I don't think they drink. I don't think they're supposed to. Anyway, yeah, you know, the difference between what you choose to do and what you're forced to do is just light years of difference between those two things. And anyone who says, yes, Sharia law should be enforced in this area, they don't understand what religion is. Religion, you're doing it wrong. That's it. And, whether you're any kind of crazy, this is the thing too. What drives me nuts is you have the social justice crowd who somehow thinks anything that's not Christian is liberal. I want to shake all my friends who are like, well, you know,
there's going to be a backlash against Muslims. So we need to do a solidarity march, and we need to go to the mosque, and we're going to go to the mosque. There's going to be a solidarity prayer at a mosque. Why would there be a solidarity prayer at a mosque? You know, when Chabad Lubavitch was raided and gunned up in Mumbai, there was a solidarity rally at another Chabad nearby my base, and we all went down there, and we had a beautiful service down at that, because it was Chabad that got shot. Chabad got shot, so it was solidarity with the victims. Does it make any sense to be like, hey, it was just random Muslims, maybe not even connected to terrorism, that did all the shooting? So the first thing we need to do is just randomly pick a mosque out of a hat and go there and say, we show solidarity with you. There's the term sending the wrong message to the enemy, because all the enemy sees, here's all they see. Because why did they want this sort of thing to happen? To scare Americans. To scare Americans and to, so that they show authority and power to their invisible friend. Because their invisible friend is more powerful than anyone else's. Invisible friend Akbar! So, what do they see? They see two people go nuts, shoot up the place, and then all of our leaders running to a mosque to show reverence to their invisible friend. Do you think that's going to quell the violence? Or do you think that's going to say, hey, this is how to get them into the mosque, people? All right?
Mission accomplished. I did everything I wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wow, okay, my radical beliefs totally paid off. And people who say radical things, like Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, Louis Farrakhan, Osama bin Laden, even Saddam Hussein back in the late 80s, the things they say are stuff like, hey, we are going to send people to go kill you. So they don't get blood on their hands. They're the 1% of the 1%. They're sitting in an ivory tower somewhere. Except for Baghdadi, he might be dead. Which is good. His life doesn't matter. It's a very frustrating situation, because when we do everything that the hyper-conservative terrorists want to do, and why do we do it? A lot of people go, oh, well, it's because we don't want to be like those right-wing people. They are right-wing people! Just because they're not white Christians doesn't mean they're not right-wing. If they still believe in having the law, their good book, be the law of the land, well, that's hyper-right-wing nut job right there. That's a hyper-conservative person. That's ultra-conservative. And that's not, it's not what a liberal should want. It's not what a liberal should strive for and should go out of their way to pay homage to. Because if you're liberal, you want choice. You want freedom of speech, freedom of religion. You don't want people saying, well, you know, the holy book written by my imaginary friend is the holy book of the land, and all court proceedings will be written because of this book. And I'm picking on all religion there. I'm using atheist terms to pick on all religion there. But if you are to say Islam, okay, yeah, Sharia law, which specifically states if you're going from Surah 2 in Surah 2 in the Quran, every woman in court, every woman must be accompanied by another woman in a court of law, because, you know, women get confused. You know, women get confused sometimes, and you need two of them to make sure the girl keeps her story straight. That's in the Quran. So, if you don't understand religion, and you don't understand that
the book that you love is supposed to point you personally towards a closer relationship with you and God. If you don't understand that, and you take just all the words 100%, you know, the times haven't changed at all. Times haven't changed whatsoever. So, you're just going to take that literally and say women are worth half a man in court. One half a man. Two women for every man, because women, you know, get a little confused sometimes. So, just one of the many examples of the crazy right-wing nutjobbery that is in that religion. And no liberal of any stripes, libertarian, classic liberal, modern liberal Democrat, conservative who doesn't realize how liberal they are, and no one should be okay with the with that being the law of the land. And so many countries have stated that is the law of their land, and because of that, it's okay to stone women. It's okay to decapitate people. It's okay to chop off hands in some situations, which, a little wacky there. So, we need to have skeptics, we need to have atheists really chiming into this whole debate, because people have forgot what it means to be liberal. Everyone thinks what it means to be liberal is running to a mosque after Muslims kill people at a Christmas party. Which, yeah, that's not liberal at all. That's the opposite of liberal.
I heard a rant. I'll see if I can find it online again. I'll see if I can link it, because it was absolutely brilliant. I was like, that's a good rant.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find that.
Yeah, I'm. I always get.
I have to wrap it up. I have to go out and stand in the cold building a parade float tonight.
All right. Well, have fun at the Winnipeg Boxing Day annual parade.
Exactly.
All right. All right. Have a good one, bro.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wait. I almost forgot one thing. I posted something online. I posted something online that I got limited reaction to.
The bear thing?
Yeah, about how the only people talking about Christians getting displaced by ISIS and slaughtered wholesale by ISIS are borderline white supremacist websites. And this is a thing that's real. It's really happening. And you really have to dig for it, because the only site that, and I have a lot of friends that are, a lot of people think race is a binary thing. I have a lot of friends that are just races that completely, what is Cambodian? Where does that sit? Anyway, my friend Timmy posts stuff from, all over the place. He is just one of those social butterflies, who posts stuff from his friends from all over the place. And one of the pages he posted from was proud to be an infidel, and their symbol is literally a burning cross. And I was so aggravated, because the video that they were sharing was brutal. It tugged on your heartstrings, because it was about helping out the Kurdish and Syrian refugees who are Christian and displaced. And it's showing this lady going over there and helping out the little kids, cute little kids who can no longer go back to their home, because if they do, they'll either be murdered, sold into slavery, or forced to convert to Islam, and then be sold into slavery. So it just absolutely devastating, heartstring tug video. But you only. The only way I got to see it was when Timmy found a burning cross website to send me to there. And it's like, what? the hell? Like, what? Why aren't liberals talking about this? What? Oh, I'm sorry. Those are white Christians, aren't they? That's not a liberal subject to talk about. Literally extinction of Caucasian Christians. You can't talk about that. That's not liberal. Liberal is only caring about non-Christians getting killed. But is that what I'm supposed to? Because they're also not talking about the same exact situation happening in Africa. Those are black Christians. Is that okay? I mean, they're black Christians who got lined up inside workplaces. This has happened time and time again. They get lined up inside workplaces, and they say, Muslims go over there, Christians over here, and then they kill all the Christians. This happened 22 dead in a mine earlier this year or last year by Boko Haram in Nigeria. I mean, when are we going to actually start standing up and saying, hey, all genocide is bad, you know? Maybe we shouldn't be doing genocide anymore as a species.
Maybe we should. Right. Allow it. Yeah, well, I mean, I had seen things, and I'd seen a news magazine, you know, a television news magazine piece about, the different types of refugees and how the Christians basically, were straight up being exterminated or having to, go underground, pretend to be Muslim if they wanted to survive, if they're in any of the ISIS territories.
Right.
But well, anyway, I am fashionably late now. I've got to get yours.
Right. I will let you go. Stay safe. Watch out for bears.
Yeah, where I'm going to be, it's quite a possibility. So I will I'll see you later.
All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Podcast over. Stop listening in 3, 2, 1, mark.